You know, I was in worship the other day. I think it was at the women's meeting. And the Lord just kind of showed me a vision of Mary in the stable. And she was delivering Jesus. And she was like, you know, I can't do this. I can't do it. And he just assured her. He said, you know, I'm never going to give you anything to do as long as it's for me that you can't handle. You can do it. I mean, think about that. That was a miracle. Not, well, obviously it's a miracle, but just the fact that she had him in those circumstances. Because I saw her look around. And just the chances of infection were huge. It was a huge amount of trust and a huge amount of faith to bring Jesus into the world. So I would like to replay Mary, Did You Know?
Just expect to meet him in this moment. Just have an expectation of meeting him. Matthew 1:23 tells us, and behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. If you would, just turn with me to Romans 15 for just a moment. God with us. That's a powerful statement just in those three words, God with us. We were talking about last week about being intentional with our faith, being intentional with where God was taking it, being intentional about our destiny. And we begin to add God with us to that in being intentional about our destiny. Now it begins to open up windows of opportunity for God to just step in and be able to guide us and lead us because he's with us. Because he's with us, and he is ultimately the God of hope. He's ultimately the God of love. He's ultimately the God of truth. And so when these things are beginning to be revealed within us, because God's with us, he's going to reveal all truth in your heart. He's going to reveal all love in your heart because he's with us. He reveals hope in our heart because he's with us. And that's what we see here in Romans 15 and 13. It says, now the God of hope, the God with you, it is the God of hope. Let him fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you're bound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And he fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, that's one of the things that began to happen that one lonely night. See, there were multiple journeys going on, and there was a journey that the Christ child was on even to be born. As he came forth, there were things that changed and things were shifted around this birth. It's interesting to know that in the New Testament, that there are two authors who speak about the birth of Christ. All four authors speak about the death and resurrection. See, Matthew and Luke are the only ones who really speak about the birth of Christ. But all four authors speak about the death and resurrection. Why? Because it's in that death and resurrection that our hope was turned into victory. When Christ was born, there was an issuing in, a breaking forth of hope that was brought into being. He was the breaker anointing himself coming to stand in this place and begin to introduce the hope that God had, begin to introduce the reconciliation that God had. As he began to introduce this reconciliation, as he began to speak and release hope to a people who were at that moment very downtrodden. But the victory was found in the resurrection. The victory was released in the resurrection. The victory was spoken of in the birth, but it was released in the resurrection. He's a God of hope, and he fills you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Because see, when he begins to fill you with all hope and joy in believing, there's something about those things that begins to release you from the oppression and depression of the enemy. Hope abounding in your heart displaces hopelessness. Hope abounding in your heart begins to ferment the place of faith. Begins to water and give nutrients to the place of faith. hope abounding in your heart begins to release an expectancy for what God can do. An expectancy for this God with us. When he began that journey, I believe he began that journey with you in mind. Each one of you. When he was sitting there at the beginning of time planning this out with the Father, he did it with you in mind. He was looking for that moment where you would come and recognize God with us. He was looking forward to it. Because see, it is possible to see these things even from the beginning. Turn with me to Luke 2. We're going to go to verse 25. This is 8 days after Jesus had been born. And they were taking him to present him at the temple. In this ceremony, he was going to be circumcised and prepared and dedicated to the Lord. Verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Christ was not just his last name. Christ was meaning the anointed one in his anointing. Until he had seen the anointing of God. And he came in the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Oh, now, Lord, thou hast let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Isn't it interesting that at 8 days old, this man recognized who he was? And I don't know how old he was. There are traditions saying he was extremely old, waiting for the Christ child to be born. And a few verses later, we see that Anna the prophetess was also waiting and began to speak of who he was and began to announce who he was, speaking those things and letting the people know. Not because of there was some outward revelation, but because of the inward revelation of the Spirit within them. Because there was something in their heart that was looking and so expecting Christ to show up, that even when he shows up just in a totally unexpected way, as a small baby, as an infant 8 days old, you know, this is the Christ. This is the Christ. It was this expectation that they had that brought about their recognition. See, the Pharisees had all the instruction, all the learning, all the books, everything that there was, every resource was made available to them, and yet most of them didn't recognize him because there was no expectation. It is in our expectation that we see God. It is in our expectation that we begin to understand this God with us. It is our expectation that begins to release the God with us so that we can walk with him and see him and relate to him. It was the expectation that begins to open up those doorways for us, open up the pathways of recognition within our eyes and then within our hearts. He wants to create this place of expectation within each and every heart. Because that's the place where the power rests. That's the place where the authority of God is released. It said there in verse 25 that he was looking for the consolation of Israel. That's the same word that they used when they're referring to Barnabas as the son of prophecy, the son of exhortation. Because see, Jesus had been prophesied about for over 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, the prophets had spoken about this day. For 2,000 years, the prophets had looked forward to this day. For 2,000 years, they had been exhorted about this day. And guess what? Jesus was also the Father's exhortation to us. This is the Father's commentary to us. It's commentary about who he is. It was his commentary about this love that he carried in his heart for us. The exhortation of the Father came in the presence and in the face of Jesus. The place of recognition brings it forth. Hallelujah. In Romans 15:13, we read that a moment ago, and it said, "Now God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, there's an abounding in hope through the authority of the dunamis. That power, that word power there is dunamis. And there's an abounding in hope by the authority of that dunamis. What is dunamis? It is the demonstration of who God is. The expression of who the Father is. But there's an abounding in hope that comes, that is released to us by that expression. It's released to us by who He is. While we're on the dunamis, let's go to Luke 1. Should be just a page or so back from where you were. Verse 26. I'll just start there. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth." Interesting note just on back in verse 19. Gabriel identifies himself to Zechariah as the angel who stands in the presence of God. I think after you stand in the presence of God for a few thousand centuries, you probably carry some authority with you. "To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you.' She was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be." Yeah, well, I imagine if an angel shows up and says, "Hail, favored one," you're probably going to just have a moment of reflection or two. You might be doing it cowering underneath the couch or whatever it is, but it's an unusual situation to find yourself. And you have to recognize this young lady was 14 years old. "When she was greatly troubled at the statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' And Mary said to this angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, the dunamis of the Most High, will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." See, we read these things and we make them into a nice little story, and then we make them into a nice little play that we play on Sunday, that we distribute it, and we bring all the little kids up here on Sunday, and some little girl comes up here with a pillow stuck under her dress, and then they produce a little baby and all this stuff. All that's really cute. And it's really wonderful. But it robs from us the majesty of the miracle that happened. All this stuff is wonderful. But we got to keep in mind and keep in focus the absolute miracle that happened here. Because, see, never ever in the whole entire history of the world had a child been born from a womb where they were never impregnated. We had seen already through Elizabeth and through others, a barren one had come to have birth and to have life. But see, the power of life overshadowed her. Life itself, the power, the dunamis power of God itself overshadowed her. And life came forth. And so it is with us. When we'll allow the power of God, in that moment when we recognize Him, when we recognize our need for our Savior, when we look at Him and we allow that life to overshadow us. Life breaks forth where there was no life. There's a holiness that has happened because, see, the firstborn male is when that life is issued forth. That one's to be holy, dedicated to the Lord. God wants to bring forth and he wants to announce that life. He wants those who are set aside for his purpose. Our salvation looks much like that, because where there was nothing but death within us, there's a life that is broken forth. There's a life that is released in the power of dunamis as his presence overshadows us. And we receive a newness in our heart. It is interesting that in the Greek, in verse 37, it says, "For nothing is impossible with God." If you read the actual Greek text, it says this: "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power." No word from God shall be without power. With God, nothing is impossible, and no word given by God shall be without power. The whole thing that we celebrate when we celebrate Christ's birth is the culmination, the fulfillment of the words that had been spoken for centuries. The fulfillment of the word that the Father had released through multiple prophets. We're celebrating that fulfillment of everything that the Lord had spoken up to that point, because everything that he did up to the Old Testament was pointing to the coming of the Christ child. No word that he ever gives is without power. That's the one thing that we must understand, that what God has released through us through this word is inerrant. In other words, it's also infallible. In other words, it's not wrong. It's always right. That is something that's up to debate in some people's minds as to whether or not the Bible can be believed. The whole purpose of the birth was to prove that what he said, he did. The whole purpose of the birth was to bring into fulfillment what had been spoken. People in this nation, people in the world, are looking for leadership. That leadership is found in the Word. That leadership is found in believing that what the Word says is true. That guide that we need is found in understanding that this Word is right there for us. I know that when our firstborn was born and I was like, didn't somebody write an instruction manual for this thing? And see, I didn't realize that somewhere in my little backpack of the few things that I possessed, I actually had a Bible. I had the instruction manual. I just hadn't read it. His word is always with power. His word is always with authority. When his word came and overshadowed Mary, then there was a birth that happened. There was life that was imparted, and birth happened. When we begin to believe that this is an infallible and inerrant word, that it's not in error, that is full and that is truth, then there's a place where true hope can be born. And when true hope is born, then there's a release of peace. There's a release of joy, because now we finally have those answers that we've been looking for. LaRue likes to refer to dunamis as creative substance, and it's what we see is that he added his creative substance, that Jesus could be born. That a miracle could happen. That the fulfillment of prophecy could happen. Flip over to Matthew, because Matthew's account gives you all kinds of examples of the word. I'll just go to verse 18, because that'll give us a little background here. Matthew 1. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Now, we just read that and we think nothing of it. But see, this was a life or death issue for Mary. It was something that potentially set her up to be scorned all of her life. To be an outcast all of her life. And Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly so that she wouldn't have to suffer through those things. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Verse 22. Now all this took place that what was spoken of the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Skip down to chapter 2, verse 5. I'm crossing over. I'm into Matthew 2. Verse 5. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written, they're looking for the Christ child. And so he inquires to the scribes and the Pharisees. Verse 4. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes and the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ child was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 15. This is after he's been born. Chapter 2, verse 13. After they had departed, behold, this is after the wise men had come and shared of the gifts that they had. And it's interesting to note that this event didn't happen. You know, we see it here that the wise men are coming to the manger. But that didn't happen. This event was 2 years later. Because on the day that Christ was born, the star appeared. And the Magi saw it, but it took them 2 years to get there. They had to get provision and make the journey. So 2 years later, they come to the house where he's at. But after they depart, after they've left the frankincense and myrrh and the gold, why did they leave the frankincense and the myrrh and the gold? Because Jesus had need of it. The family had need of it. Why? Because they're fixing to have to make a journey. The provision of God was being released through what this offering that the men brought. The men were bringing an offering, and that offering was what the family was able to utilize to flee from where they were. So what happens here? Verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. That which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt did I call my son. Out of Egypt did I call my son. We're seeing word after word, simple little things that were mentioned here and there by the prophets, all being fulfilled with the birth of Christ. Herod, in response to that, begins to search out all the children 2 years of age and younger to destroy the males. Verse 17 says, and that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. And we see that even then, the Lord released yet another dream. Verse 22, he said that Archelaus was reigning over Judah in place of his father Herod. He was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee. And he came and resided in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. I think that was like five different places that I gave you where this five different references to the Word, five different references to the Word where the Word came forth and was fulfilled through this that we celebrate this week. Through the birthing of Christ. He fulfilled all the purposes and all the plans of the law got fulfilled in the person of Christ. The point of this is when the word comes forth in your life, it has just as much power and just as much authority as these words were released over Christ. And every one of them came forth in fulfillment. There's a place of faith that you can have for the word that God has given you because he's already proven himself faithful when he brought the Christ child to us. He proved himself faithful in such a way that we could not even have imagined had you thought about it. Had you heard all the words, all the prophecies beforehand, and thought about it, you probably would not have imagined a baby coming and being born in a manger. But it fulfilled the word of the Lord. It was a place of faith that was being recognized. It was a place of faith that was being implemented right before us. When we're watching the little skits and we're watching the little plays and we're celebrating with all the presents and all the gifts, we need to recognize the miracle. We need to recognize the faith that has been given to us, the place of faith that has been given to us, because God has made it possible by His actions, by His gift. He just shared with me this week, he said, if you really want to celebrate my love, honor one another. Honor one another. That is a celebration of love. When we'll honor one another. I want you to recognize that in the honoring of one another, in the honoring, there's a release of His love. There's a release of His purpose in your life. I was walking through the mall the other day. You know, it's so simple to just release a smile. Honor them. I mean, I'm watching and all these people and they're intent on getting where they're going to go and they're intent on getting everybody else out of their way. Release something. Release some joy. Release some smile. Honor them with that smile. Honor them with that joy. You'd be surprised how many people, as this one store, as I was walking through, these poor ladies are all standing there at the counter doing their little makeup stuff and whatnot. Just as I walk through there, how many of them, just because you're walking through there and you're beaming, will actually begin to smile? Why? Because they're not seeing that. They need to see that. We should be looking different, people. Let's honor by who and how we release who God is in us. Hallelujah. No word from God shall be without power. See, He adds His creative substance to it. When He adds His creative substance to it, then there's something that is already empowered. Every word, every commandment we have will come with the authority to see it through. But sometimes, even as we saw that Joseph had received multiple dreams, see, there's also something that was required when that happens. Because we recognize that every time God gave him a dream, there was something that happened. Back up to Matthew 1, verse 24. And Joseph arose from his sleep. He awakened. He awakened. He arose from his sleep and what? And did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He awakened. You see, sometimes it's necessary for us to awaken to the plan of God, to awaken to do and follow through on what He has instructed us to do, to awaken where God has said, hey, here it is, I'm releasing it to you in a dream, I'm releasing it to you in a word, I've set the vision before you, now I need for you to walk in it. Awaken. We used to sing that song, Awake, Awake, O Sleeper. Awaken. God wants us to awaken to His plan, to awaken to His destiny, to awaken to what He's already set aside for us, to awaken to the inheritance that has been released. Because if we'll awaken to the inheritance we released, then we can begin to release it in someone else. We can begin to be that breaker anointing that goes forth that makes the difference for another person. When we awaken to this purpose that God has set in our hearts, then all of a sudden we can begin to understand His purpose in our life. But not only as we understand His purpose in our life, we can also find a place of strength for the destiny. It's a place of provision for the destiny. I just had this discussion with the other day with Mike, and you know, we have to recognize ourselves properly. We have to begin to recognize who we are in Christ properly. We have to begin to recognize who we are properly. Because if we don't recognize who we are properly, we can't begin to release that in somebody else. If I think too much of myself, or if I think too highly of myself, I'm not going to bend down to pick somebody up because I'm too good for that. At the same time, if I think too lowly of myself, I think that I can't possibly help them because they're above me already. No, we got to recognize what God has put in us. We got to recognize that there's a plan and a purpose of what He put in us. And as we recognize that, we can begin to release the power that comes with it. Because we're releasing the power that's in the Word. Every word comes forth with power. Every word comes forth, and every word is that creative substance is busy making destiny available. It's making an inheritance available in Christ. Sometimes it's as simple as smiling at somebody going through the mall. Be the agent of change. Be the agent of change. See, that's what God has called every one of us to do, is to be an agent of change. This whole, the whole Christmas celebration, the birthing of Christ, is a celebration of change. It's a celebration of the moment when God said, I'm stepping into the world now. And as I step into the world, everything else is going to stop. Everything else is going to change. Because I'm setting something in motion that will set these people free. I'm setting something in motion that will cause time itself to be recalibrated. What other birth caused for us to set up and change the way we track time? He said, I'm an agent of change. And in the same way that He was an agent of change, He releases the authority in us to be an agent of change. No matter what we're looking at, no matter where we're going, whatever the circumstance that is facing us, we can be an agent of that change. When we see sickness and disease, we can be an agent of change. When we see somebody downcast and downtrodden, we can be an agent of change because God has instilled it within us with the power to make it happen. The word fulfilled. You know, you might let go of your word, but He's not going to. Sometimes we get a word from God and we're all excited about it for a week. And 2 weeks later, we don't remember it happened. But I guarantee you, God hasn't forgotten. God hasn't forgotten. Whatever your word is, whatever He's come to you with and spoke into your heart and put into your heart, that power is still there. It's just waiting to be released. It's waiting to be opened up so that you can be purposeful about your destiny. This time we'll go to Luke. We look at it as history, the birth of Jesus. But at one point in time, the prophets all longed to see that birth. The prophets were all longing to see the birth. They knew in their heart that something was coming. They knew in their heart the Messiah was to come, that His anointing was to come, that it was to be released in this world. I mean, they were all anticipating what would come, but they didn't get to see. Moses didn't get to see it. Elijah didn't get to see it. We get to look at it as history. But we can't rob from it its importance. We can't rob from it the expectancy that it brought just because it's already history. We can't miss the opportunity that was brought forth and the breaker anointing that was released just because it was history. Because we have the opportunity to stand on the backside of it instead of having to look into it and wishing and hoping and praying that we might get to see it. No, we've already seen it. It's already been released and we can rejoice in it. That's why we celebrate this season, is to rejoice in the release that God gave us, to rejoice in the freedom that we were given in the moment. There was something here, and He says this, because His word never comes forth without power. No word from God is ever without power. This is where the angel Gabriel is speaking to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Let's go to verse 15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him, before to Christ, in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn back the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, John the Baptist was the fulfillment of prophecy himself, and he was the one who was speaking and releasing the words that would begin to prepare the way for the Messiah. To prepare the way for the Anointed One and His anointing to come into the earth. He was there to stir a revival. He was there to stir a revival because He's turning hearts back to the Lord. He's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. That is natural birth orders, but it's also turning the hearts of the people, the elders, back to the place of simplicity, back to the place of love. Returning the hearts of those who were in charge at the moment to those who they were shepherding over. And he's turning the hearts of a disobedient people back and making them pliable. About a year ago, I told you this, that Robert Coleman said that a revival was the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. That's revival. What is these words same here? Is it being released over John the Baptist? He will be a forerunner before him and turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. So as to make ready a people. Make ready a people. Each and every one of you has that call in your life to make ready a people. To turn the sinner back to righteousness. What is righteousness? It's right standing with the Father. Holiness is a gift that we can give to the Father. Righteousness is a gift that God gives to you. But holiness is this being dedicated, set apart, set aside for the purpose of the Father. Set aside for the purpose of the Father. He wants to break forth with you. And as He breaks forth with you, then that's going to release others to be able to go break forth too. And as He does this, this is the part in the nature of what revival does. This is the nature of what we want to see happening, because we need something that changes the nature of our whole culture right now as a church. Not just HRC, but as a church. Have you noticed the mosques going up? Have you seen? There's a billboard somewhere I saw on 1960. And it's all about Islam. That never happened before. It's happened only because we, the church, are not walking in the power that God gave us. Every word that He has given us is the word with power. And every word that He's given us is a word with authority. And we stand in the fullness of that word and power and authority. The people have no reason to look at Islam. They can go, dead religion. But one dead religion looks like another dead religion. We need to have a religion of life. God has given us a religion of life. He's given us a place of power and authority. He just looks for us to walk in it. He's looking for us to walk in it. To be intentional about our destiny. To recognize that with God, nothing is impossible. When we begin to see that, when we begin to walk in it, we can walk in the fullness of it. Number one, that releases us from a lot of overhead. What do you mean? What I mean is that when I understand that with God nothing is impossible and that no word He gives me is without power, I no longer have to try to do it in my own strength. I just have to do what Joseph did. Wake up and go and do as I'm commanded. Joseph woke up. He arose and went and did what he was told. That's all he's looking for from us. To wake up and do what we're told. And, you know, I'm okay if God comes to me in a dream. I'm okay if He speaks to me in an inner voice. I'm okay if He speaks to me in a booming, audible voice. I've had all these things happen. And you know, all that's necessary then is just to walk out what He's saying. If we'll do our part, God does His part. Miracles happen. Power is released. Authority is released. And people don't have to look for Islam anymore because they know where to go. Let's be a church where they know where to go. Let's be a church where they know where to go to find the word that they need, where they know where to go to find the release that they need, the peace that they need, the deliverance that they need, the freedom that they need. People are looking for leadership. Let's be the place that provides that leadership. Let's be the reservoir, the sanctuary of that leadership. Why? Because our faith is in the Christ child. Our faith is in what was brought to us in this birth. Our faith is in what was brought to us and the victory that was given to us in the resurrection. Amen. Amen. You have authority. Every believer has authority. That new nature that Christ put in you. That new nature that Christ put in you. That's your word. It has authority. It has power. It breaks forth. It's the breaker anointing is on that word. The breaker anointing is in that new nature. All we need to do is encourage it. Amen? Amen. God bless you.